Fab Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
When I was watching the end of the Open yesterday, and Dustin Johnson is three-putting, remember when Jack Buck, the late Jack Buck, had the great call of Gibson against Eckersley, and he said, I don't believe what I just saw. I was hoping Joe Buck would say, I don't believe what I just saw times two, or something along those lines, because what a great Father's Day. And for Fox, I haven't seen the numbers yet in Phoenix. Nationally, their numbers were just amazing. And everywhere I've been this morning, I've been at some business stuff already. That's all anybody's talking about is the Open. And can you believe what happened last night? Now, there's some stuff with the Diamondbacks. They made a trade Saturday night that is controversial in some circles. I'll talk about that. Paula Bovin will be with us, news and notes on a Monday. We may have, we're chasing a couple of golf analysts, so we'll see if we are able to push through on that front. There's a lot on my mind. Sports360AZ.com, that is our site. I'm Brad Sesmat. We partner with AZ Central Sports. We join you Monday through Friday for a couple of hours, do our thing at 10 a.m. And, of course, our website is Arizona-centric, a lot that we see around the state. And we bring you over the last three-plus years, high school, college, pro, no particular order, a little bit different than what everybody else is doing. It's great to have you as part of the show. Let's get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports. Brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. My Santan Ford experience this weekend, I was in Pine Top, emceeing in a big event for the White Mountain Sun Devil Club with Arizona State. Todd Graham was there, Ray Anderson was there, Charlie Turner Thorne, about 500 fans, alums, big names, former players from the past. Randall McDaniel was there, Jeff Van Rapphorst, among others, Andrew Walter, Taylor Kelly. Had a great time. Took some of my friends, some of our partners with Sports 360 AZ, took them up. We golfed for a couple of days, had a great time, and I did it in my Ford Fusion. Drove up in my hybrid Ford Fusion. My trip there and back averaged 52.3 miles per gallon. 52.3. And I know coming down the hill, down through Globe and all that, it was a simple, safe drive late Saturday night. I was able to get a lot of work done with my sync support system, of course, having Sirius XM, plenty of good stuff to listen to. And I had a great trip. Had a great trip from Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. That's where you need to go get your next car truck at Santan Ford. Okay, so we'll start with the Open. The ratings were really, really good. Up 45%. Now, there's a couple things about the tournament. The pounding on Fox, that was pretty predictable. There were going to be people that didn't like the way that Fox delivered a broadcast. And I'll get more into Greg Norman and Joe Buck as the show progresses. And some of the things that they did that I liked and some that I didn't. In terms of the tournament, I felt like the course on television versus the course there in person. So a couple of my friends were there, and they said, yeah, it's really, really hard, but they would love to play that course. You can rip on it all you want. You can be the bitter Ian Poulter today. You can be some of the other bitter golfers, the Horschels and the Poulters, the ones that have come out. There's always those guys on tour that if you know you go to them, or in sports in general, you walk into a locker room, you know you're going to go find that guy that will rip and be straight up about it. So when I saw that Ian Poulter said the greens were disgraceful, I don't know. Ian Poulter still got a check for $29,512 this weekend. That's not a bad weekend's worth of work if your working conditions weren't that great. And oh, by the way, the U.S. Open, the USGA, it's for the common man or the common woman who would want to play. So while Chambers Bay gets slammed, I think it was great being on the West Coast. Certainly it was great for business because the East Coast TV numbers, I'm sure, were just monster watching this down the stretch. Jordan Spieth wins, Dustin Johnson collapses, but is it Dustin Johnson collapses and Jordan Spieth wins? If you're talking about the headline of the weekend, was it, hey, look, we're actually going to get to see, we just went through a triple crown in horse racing. It's pretty cool. We're actually in a position now where we can see a grand slam in golf, something that hasn't happened since 2002. I like that a great deal. Jordan Spieth has already won the Masters. Now he's won the U.S. Open. And if he wins at St. Andrews next month, he's going for the holy grail of golf. Really good sports here so far. But I think there's more people talking about the collapse of Dustin Johnson. Here is Jordan Spieth after it was finished on his victory, but he was feeling bad for Johnson.
I very much feel for him. He's a great champion. He's certainly proven that he closes tournaments out. This was just an odd deal, very odd. I very much feel for Dustin. He deserves to be holding the trophy just as much as I do, I think, this week.
So let's go back through this with Dustin Johnson. He has a 12-foot eagle putt for the win. If you or I are sitting there and we've got 12 feet for an eagle, and then we're thinking, well, you know, the worst we can do, we'll two-putt this. We're all in that same boat. But it looked very, very tough on television. 12-foot eagle putt for the win. Two putts forces an 18-hole playoff today. I think most people thought, well, he's at least going to two-putt, and we're going to have an 18-hole playoff today, which is a whole other conversation, rather than just going back out and playing until you get a winner. But the eagle putt was a little bit strong, and then it came down to this last three-footer birdie to tie.
Just touched it and just rolled. I mean, it's not – it was a tough putt. I mean, it was going to be a difficult putt to make. But I don't understand how my ball ended up right there. I would have thought it would have came back down a little bit.
On one hand, I feel for Dustin Johnson. Who wouldn't? I also feel like, hey, you know what? Common man. He did something that I do all the time. I always three putt from within 12 feet. I'm not good at all. So I'm right there. I win. We're kindred spirits. Except there's two little things with Dustin Johnson that are different than me. One is he made $1.1 million even though he three putted. The other is, and this is no, my wife is not going to smack me upside the head on this one, but Paulina Gretzky is, you know, Paulina Gretzky. Do we have that picture of Paulina? Yeah. So here is Jordan's girlfriend. It's Wayne Gretzky's daughter. There's Paulina. Here's the story with Paulina yesterday. This is how our country works. Yesterday and last night and this morning, guess what? Paulina Gretzky was trending on Twitter ahead of Jordan Spieth, which says, who cares who won the tournament? Let's check out the hot girl, right? I mean, that's what we're saying here in our country. We don't care about on the course. More people wanted to see pictures of Paulina Gretzky. Now, Dustin Johnson has been through some stuff. He's been through some stuff. Lots of people go through stuff. Anybody who says I have the perfect marriage or that I've never been through stuff, they're just lying. So he's been through some stuff. I admire the fact that he was there. I have no ill will towards Dustin Johnson. If this were Tiger Woods, okay? And in the last 3 days, there's been nothing about Tiger Woods because he was just flat awful. But if this were Tiger Woods, imagine the haters today that would be out. I mean, you talk about LeBron James like hating. It's the same deal on Tiger Woods. And even Phil. You know, those two just weren't even around. But it was a terrific tournament to watch. It was terrific that it was on the West Coast. I'm sitting there at 7:15 last night watching golf on a Sunday night for a major. How awesome is that? And it was a lot of fun on that front. The other things that are on my mind, we'll get into the Diamondbacks in a little bit. We may have some golf coming up, or we may not. I'll get into the Diamondbacks in a little bit. The Bronson Arroyo trade happened late Saturday night. We'll talk about that. The NBA draft is this week. NBA draft is on Thursday. There are reports all over the place about Dwayne Wade being linked to the Lakers. I don't know how to tell Suns fans this, but I'll just be straight on it. The Lakers are putting some things together where they're going to go right past the Suns and where the Suns are right now. It's just going that way. Dwayne Wade comes over there. Kobe comes back. Clarkson was good last year. They've got the second pick. The way the draft stacks up right now, from the way it sounds, D'Angelo Russell may be the best player in the draft, and I loved him. I saw him during the NCAAs against U of A. He was terrific. I thought he was a lot of fun to watch. Cauley Stein probably is going to be the number one overall pick with Minnesota. D'Angelo Russell sitting there with the Lakers at number two coming into Los Angeles, and Jahlil Okafor then slips down to three. But that's how it sounds today with the draft on Thursday. We will be at the Suns on Thursday night, then go through all the stuff around the Suns and the draft. We'll take a time out here on the other side. We'll get into the Diamondbacks and their weekend, the trade that they made. Some people really like it. Some people do not. You'll hear from Dave Stewart. Again, they win a series. And again, I have to point out, guys, they're really playing well, this team. They're one of the better stories this year in baseball. And they're not falling out of sight in the National League West. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Sounds like Gary McCord's going to join us here in a little bit. Jordan Hamm is in the big seat today. Eric's on like week 20 of his vacation here at this. I don't know why I decided to hire some people. I didn't negotiate that deal with you, did I?
Not at all. Must be nice.
He's always gone. He's
just
never
trekking around Omaha.
Ever? Yeah, I know. And his team was eliminated on top of it. So he's
at least guys, we got to see him play.
Well, here's the thing: if you're going to go on vacation, and those of you in Omaha, they're going to get wound up about this. Tough. I'm right. You don't want to go to Omaha for vacation unless it's to watch your team play baseball. They're eliminated. Why he's sitting around there, I don't know if he's at the Motel 6 in the pool that hasn't been redone in 40 years with the water that's a little tint the wrong color. I don't know if that's where he is. You know, with the little air conditioners out front that are grinding away, and they tell you you have to go across the street to the Circle K or whatever, the dip and sip to get what you want to eat. I don't know. I like Omaha. They have great steaks. It's fun to be there during football and during baseball. But if your team's eliminated, get out and get back to work.
I'm told he is en route to Phoenix as we speak.
No, I'm sure he is. But what do you know? He's missing another show. So it's fine. So we have Gary McCord, though? Are you negotiating on this one?
Yeah, we are pinning down a
What
time
are you offering
right
him? We have lots here to offer. I mean, we could put him up the Fairmont. We can have a great time. So
better than Omaha.
And Paula's at the eye doctor.
She is.
She's going to be with us, though, but I just want to make sure on these guests that it's fine. It's
a lot
fine.
Of moving parts, but we're getting
it. Nah, it's fine. It's part of doing a show. I heard Goody was on. How was Goody Kuntz on Friday before I get into the Diamondbacks? I got a minute here.
Goody was good.
Was he?
Yeah.
That's not what people are saying.
Well.
They've just been crushing him. Like, are you serious? You're going to put him. That's like putting Joe Buck on to do his first ever broadcast of golf at the U.S. Open. We didn't warm Bill up. We just sat him here. Was Kimmel any good?
Kimmel was great, yeah.
Really?
We threw him right into the fire and had a few really good guests.
So I could take off more often is what you're saying.
Yeah, you could get that Sorensen
The Sorensen contract.
Yeah.
That's good. I don't mind that. All right, so let's get over to the Diamondbacks. It was a really interesting weekend from this standpoint. They played Pat Murphy, the former Sun Devil manager, coach, who is now running the Padres. The Diamondbacks take 2 of 3. The Diamondbacks are 34-35, which doesn't sound all that impressive off the top. But if you remember last year how awful with a capital A they were, and even Derek Hall this last week, he crushed them when he was on the show with me. It's fine. They're 4.5 back of the Dodgers for first place. 4.5 back. That's it. It's not like the season has slipped away. Add to that, the next 13 games are against teams that, well, for the most part, I think they could take advantage of, except that they have a home series against the Dodgers coming up. But they have 3 with Colorado starting tomorrow. Colorado is in last place. Then they go to San Diego for 3. They just got through 3 with the Padres. Then they're home to the Dodgers, and they have 4 against Colorado at home. So 7 games of their next 13 are against the stinking Rockies. And they're just a game under 500, and they're just 4.5 back of the Dodgers. Yesterday, they were able to come up with big plays, including Paul Goldschmidt at the plate in the first inning. Second inning.
Now the chopper back up over the middle. Center field base hit. One is in. Here comes another runner to score. The Diamondbacks have scored 7 in the inning and lead it 7-0.
And they would go on and win 7-2. Pollock, Goldschmidt each had 2-run singles. Helixson had a solid start, 7 strikeouts, a season high. Helixson had me very nervous, and many of you that would send me notes, it's a Helixson start tonight, this isn't going to go well. In April, he wasn't good. Second slowest starter in terms of time in between pitches in the National League. He wasn't good. So I think if you look at the weekend for them, other than Helixson had to leave with a sore back, being a game back, 4.5 behind the Dodgers, I will take that. I think the bigger story, though, was the baseball trade. The Diamondbacks made a trade that they are getting crushed for nationally. They traded Bronson Arroyo, and they also traded last year's number one draft pick, Tuki Toussaint. Okay, so he was the number 16 pick in last year's draft, and they bolt him out here. It's a pretty simple explanation to me. I don't need to cut through this because this is not heavy lifting. This is called an old-fashioned salary dump. We are going to get Bronson Arroyo out of here because he's not going to be ready until late July or mid-August. Yeah, they may have been in a race. They may be in a race at that point. They may not be. And if you just went through all of these players that you drafted, they took a lot of arms in the draft, I can easily make the argument that, you know what, if you've got to get Arroyo's salary off the books, and I don't believe that Ken Kendrick came down the hall and said, hey, we got to cut salary now. I don't believe that. I think they're having a pretty good year from an attendance standpoint. The financials of the deal, we'll get into that in a minute. But to give this some context, here's Dave Stewart. I can give my opinions on it, but I want to hear from Dave Stewart why they made the deal.
A lot of it has to do with, you know, the direction that we're taking our starting rotation. You know, Bronson is going to be, you know, do the pitch. We're thinking mid to late July, even early August. And, you know, we're getting some pretty good showing from our young pitching, and that's the direction that we're going to go and stay.
Okay, and so I buy into that. I think most commonsensical people that have watched this team play this year would say their pitching has been pretty good. The young starting pitching has gotten better as the season has progressed. Here's more Dave Stewart on the financials of the deal.
I think it's more for what we're trying to do. The money definitely is important. You know, and we've said, you know, we're going to try to do what we can to promote our young pitching, but also give ourselves a chance to you know, have some savings so that we can have an opportunity to do things at a later date.
And so they get back a young player, but they save about $10 million in getting this done. Phil Gosselin comes back. He's an infielder who's been hurt. So did Atlanta do something really smart, or did the Diamondbacks do something that you look at and you'll say 3, 4, 5 years from now? Because remember, Atlanta is a very sharp organization. Will Atlanta fleece the Diamondbacks on this deal, and if all these young arms don't come through like they believe? And, you know, you look at it from that standpoint, that the former administration that was here, the Kevin Towers regime, if you're part of that regime, a lot of those players, a lot of those personnel moves, gone, goodbye, see you later. So they make this deal, and this is not one that you can judge overnight. I'm sure that there are going to be those that will say, look, they gave up on their number one pick. Why would they do that? Should a team that recently signed a 20-year deal for more than $1.5 billion with Fox Sports Arizona even be operating in such fashion? That has been written about. The trade amounts to about $7 million in savings. It was a $10 million salary, Toussaint's $2.7 million signing bonus from that amount. Once you cut that out, it's about $7 million. But when you look at what the Diamondbacks have done here, they traded away Trumbo, which is about $3.25 million. They got rid of Nuno. I kind of like that trade so far. Castillo's come in here and has been a pretty good catcher. So I wouldn't crush them on that one. And they get some prospects. There are some that I've talked to, and there's actually people nationally saying the Diamondbacks are just going about their business in a deceptive sort of way, meaning they're not really going to say that there's anything financial behind this. I don't know that as fact, but that is certainly a narrative that has been out there. I myself would like to see them add a veteran frontline pitcher, but they are in some reduction mode. I don't see where Bronson Arroyo should have people all worked up and bent out of shape. And if you really believe these pitchers you just picked up in the draft are already ahead of what you have in last year's first round pick, and you have to do a salary dump, move on. I'm happy they've gotten rid of guys like Trevor Cahill that sat around. The Trumbo deal made sense to me. We'll have to see on this Arroyo deal. I'm not going to sit here today and wave flags and say, oh, this is great, this is awesome. This is one of those moves you have to look at in a few years and say, you gave up a number one player because you felt like you had better guys coming in. How did that exactly work out for you? Gary McCord's going to join us on the other side, CBS golf analyst. He's up in Vail. I want to talk to Gary about the weekend at the U.S. Open from his view. And he's always very candid and straightforward. Look forward to talking to Gary McCord and then Paula Bova, News and Notes. Monday, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our website, Sports360AZ.com. Plenty of content that you see around the state of Arizona. Check it out. I'm Brad Sussmans. Good Monday. Big week ahead in sports. We have the NBA draft on Thursday night. Suns with the 13th pick. On Friday, this weekend, we have the Coyotes draft that's taking place. So both the Valley franchises that need some good luck. There's no question about it. Let's not sit here and sugarcoat it. It's been a rough, rough run for the Suns and the Coyotes. So both of them will be in place and trying to make their mark this coming weekend. And then we'll have free agency getting started in the NBA as well and the National Hockey League. That'll be next week. I was in Pine Top over the weekend with Arizona State. I was up there emceeing an event that I do every year. Played a lot of golf. Saw Todd Graham. Had a nice chat with him about some of the things going on with the football program. We're just about 85, 88 days away from the start of the college football season. And ran into Ray Anderson. Had quite a bit of a conversation with him up on stage in front of about 500 alums, boosters, and supporters. Did a question and answer about the future of what's going on over at Arizona State and within the Pac-12 as well. So it was good to catch up with Ray and to be involved in all that. So thanks to all the people at the White Mountain Sun Devil Club. A good time on that front. In terms of the golf, Gary McCord's scheduled to join us here in a minute. So a 4.9 overnight rating for Fox U.S. Open yesterday. That's up 45% from the record low on NBC. Below previous opens in primetime on the East Coast. So the East Coast numbers, while they were good, they weren't great. The Jason Day story, for those of you that saw Jason Day with the Vertigo and all that, that has been one he just put out on Twitter. Thanks for the amazing support this week, U.S. Open Golf. I'm disappointed I couldn't get it done, but can't wait for St. Andrews and another chance. So what a terrific story there with Jason Day. A lot of angles around the Open, a lot of fans weighing in on that on social media. It's a pleasure to have with us. It's good to catch up. Part-time Valley resident Gary McCord, CBS golf analyst. He joins us from up in Colorado. Gary, it's Brad Sussmat. How are you?
Brad, how are you doing?
Doing well. Good. Big picture question. What'd you make out of the weekend?
It was a fairly wild ride on many, many different aspects. I didn't know where to begin with that thing. It was kind of, you were curious to tune in early in the week, Thursday, Friday-ish, to see just what this golf course looked like. I remember seeing it back in 2010 for the amateur, and I watched a little bit, but not much. And, of course, they had plenty of time to mess around with it. Just to watch the golf course, see what it looked like, and then look at the conditions, and then, the weather, the players. And it turned out a pretty good venue. You can't argue with all the show ponies that were up there at the end. So it figured out how to get the best golfers in the world up there vying for the championship. And then, the ending was bizarre, to say the least. Bizarre.
The course, so the conversation on the course, when it's U.S. Open, do you just know that there's going to be players that don't like the course year in and year out, and that's just the way it is?
Yeah, constantly. Dan Jenkins said it's just, it's everybody's grumpy. It's a grumpy Open. Everybody's bitching, complaining. That's the way the Open always is, You never get a fair break. Everything bounces the wrong way. Why me? That stuff. And then you sprinkle a little fescue and some sprouting poana, and you've got pinball wizard, and then that's just to the chaos of the event that we saw at the end and throughout the weekend. So it was as expected for an Open. There is constant controversy. There's constant juxtaposing of positions, and everybody's throwing up on their shoes trying to come in.
Gary McCord with us. Is it whining by Poulter and Horschel, Gary?
Horschel did go off. He couldn't wait to get the podium get going. And, the old deal is, okay, the greens are bad. I'm going to have to deal with it. Usually the calmer guys play better at the Opens. They don't let those things get in their venue. And Billy was playing well. He was out there throwing haymakers at the greens it looked like, and false hatchet throws after he missed three-footer, and all of a sudden you turn around and he's one under par, five under for the day.
Right.
So he was making a good go out of it, and that's hard to do when you've, you know, just from the sound of him, he was negative. He was blasting the place. So that's hard to play good when you're blasting the place. And Poulter, he kind of figured that was going to happen, and all they did was change the timing of it. Instead of during the tournament, this was after the tournament he made his pronouncement, but you kind of figured we'd all kind of assume what he was going to say prior to that anyway.
Mm-hmm. And you know, when you watch McIlroy yesterday, he comes so close on at least a half dozen putts. Otherwise, he's right there at the end. You know, his blade let him down.
Yeah, and, you know, a blade let a lot of guys down. And those greens, as you saw, they were interesting, to say the least. So, you know, they all know it. They've won. The guys you're talking about have won majors before. So McIlroy knows what it's all about with his four major wins, and he understands that, you know, he might get lucky and it might go in and it might not. And just hopefully hit enough close where, you know, the odds are kind of in your favor to do that and not let, you know, that every 6-footer, every six or seven holes, and trying to get that one in instead of hitting it 5-6 feet every hole where you, again, it's all mathematics. You just have a better chance of making them. That's what it looked like on that golf course, on those greens.
Gary McCord, CBS golf analyst, part-time Valley resident with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. Jordan Spieth or Dustin Johnson, which is the bigger story? There's a conversation today. It's Dustin Johnson collapsing. It's Jordan Spieth winning. I'm looking at it saying, I don't know, a lot of common men have three-putted before, and they kind of gravitated towards what he went through yesterday. What's the bigger headline to Gary McCord?
I would, you know, it all kind of fell into place where you got, you know, the guy that, the young kid that was going along, and you kind of knew he was going to, it looked like he was going to do it, and then he doubled 17, you know, and then he just, you know, he knuckled up and hit those two good shots on 18, and then with all the chicanery that was going on with Dustin, and then he birdied 17, and he just monsters one out there on 18. What's that hole, 650 or something? And his driver 5-iron, you know, he just pummeled the golf course. To watch him play and to wonder if when he gets it going, if he figures out the combination that clicks for him, how good he can beat it. Because you can't drive it any farther, any straighter than he can. He can't. A machine can't. So, you know, I kind of expected Justin to be there. Again, I heard him in the post comments, and he was referring back to Augusta. When you've got that in your back right pocket, you remember when Michael Groller was caddy? Remember when we did this at Augusta on 14? Remember you played da-da-da-da-da-da? And you go, yeah, okay, I got that. That's a memory. That's a positive memory. And that goes so long. And Dustin, what has he had for his memory bank? Three collapses, biblical collapses. So until he gets over that and gets something really positive in his memory bank to flush the other stuff out in the next major, whether it be coming up at St. Andrews or Whistling Straits for the PGA, whatever, he'll get it. I mean, he's you know, he's that good. So, you know, you sit back and you watch, and I kept telling the guys I was watching, and I said, boys, he's got a history. You know, he's got demons. You know he's got demons, and until he beats those demons, like all of them, you know, stuff like that's going to happen. So I'm not really answering your question. I'm just kind of, you know, Dustin has done that, and Jordan Spieth has done that win. And so, you know, they both played out their roles.
You know, the thing about Spieth is, Greg Norman referred to dry lips, and I wanted a little bit more from that, but because he was talking to himself. I mean, the nerves that I saw in Jordan Spieth at 17, where he's yelling and barking at the ball down the stretch, did you see that the same way?
Yeah, but I've seen it every time we have him on the air. Jordan is a guy that when we put the boom mic on him, as an announcer, shut up. He will supply the commentary. And if he's not talking to himself, he's talking to Michael, his caddy. And they go back and forth, much like Phil and Bones do. And it's great conversation. He was a little more, and when I was watching again with these guys, I said, he's a little more animated than he's been before. So it was interesting. He was doing all the talking, and Michael just kind of listened to him, and then, okay, we've got it. Remember a couple of months ago at Augusta, we did this, we did that.
Yeah.
So he was more animated, but he is always like that, always like that.
Gary, is he getting ready to go for him to go to St. Andrews at 21 years of age and the youngest player to win the Masters in the U.S. Open? I referred to it earlier. We just went through a Triple Crown in horse racing, which was terrific. We're seeing something that hasn't happened in our country in golf in 13 years since Tiger did it. The easy question is, can this kid do it? We don't know till he gets over there, but does he have the makeup? Do you think the pressure is finally going to get to him?
No, I don't think so. I really don't. He's got a game plan. He goes about his business. The good thing that's different from horse racing is, what do we have, 8 guys in the last race there for American Pharoah, and we're going to have 144 of the best players in the world again going at it, and in combination. Their one goal is maybe let's not let this kid get a real good goal on the Grand Slam. Third leg of it, which would be nice because we would have the fourth leg, PGA Championship with CBS. So that would be fantastic from our standpoint if he could win. But no, there is no reason, absolutely no reason why he can't. He's not like Tiger when Tiger was dominating in 2000, early 2000s. When he was, you went, oh, no, man, he's on the tear. You can't beat him. And which he did do the Tiger Slam where he won 4 in a row, not in the same year. Well, this kid doesn't have that kind of overpowering nature, overpowering golf game to scare everybody. He is just good in every phase. And at 21, he's freaky mature. Mm-hmm. So it's not something you go, oh, well, he could beat us all. No, he's a good player. He'd go out and play, and all of a sudden you look up again, and there he is every week. So there's something going on. He's not the best ball striker. He's not the longest driver. He's not the best putter. Not the best short game. But, boy, I will tell you what, they're right up there in the 98th percentile of all of them. So, yeah, there's no question he could do it.
For those that watched Fox this weekend, what did you see? You're in a different spot. You're one of the guys, and it's like saying Joe Buck, Greg, you're not gonna go to the John Deere Classic to get warm ups. You're gonna actually just go to the U.S. Open, and this is gonna be the first time you're gonna do it in front of everybody. What'd you make out of the Fox coverage?
They will get better. You knew that going in. You can't throw this massive amount of techs and cameramen and producers and announcers that have never worked together and go, okay, watch this. This is going to be really clean.
Right.
You can't do it. It's impossible. So, they did the best they can. There was a lot of mistakes made. And again, you do something long enough, you'll get good at it. I've been doing it for 30 something years. I'm still not good at it, at announcing. So, it takes a long time and it takes, again, it's a team and it's a team effort. And, they'll get better. They just don't have enough tournaments really to shine. So it's going to take some years to do it instead of a year or two. We've got 21 events, I believe, and NBC's got right around that. So we've got plenty of time to practice. They've got this event, and then I think 4 others. But Norman and those guys don't even work the other events. So
yeah, and do you remember?
They'll get better.
Do you remember your first event you did on TV?
Yeah. Yep.
What was it? Where was it? When was it?
It was at the Memorial Tournament. I went up. I was supposed to be in the trucks with Frank Chirkinian, the producer-director. I just wanted to go. I was on the policy board, one of the 4 players that make decisions as to this. And I just wanted to sit in there and watch him do what he did because it's fascinating. And he put me out in the tower on 16. I had no idea why.
Mm.
And Vern Lundquist handed me a headset. And I had no clue because there's a one voice in one ear and one in the other, and everybody's yelling at you the whole time while you're on. And it was kind of chaotic. I liked it. It was fun. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know commercial. I didn't know any of that stuff. Which, if you could relate it back to what they were going through today, is kind of, or yesterday, is probably kind of the same thing.
Right.
There's a lot of helter skelter going on.
No question. Hey, I appreciate your time as always. Thank you much.
You got it, Brad.
Stay
well. Thank you,
bud. You got it.
See you, bye.
Gary McCord, CBS golf analyst for a couple of minutes, part-time Valley resident. It's always good to catch up with Gary. Really good stuff there on Jordan Spieth and also on the broadcast side of things. Paula Bovin is next. News and notes. She joins me every Monday. AZ Central Sports columnist, my friend Paula Bovin. I'm Brad Sussmat.
We're on your mobile phone and tablet at sports360az.com. Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
News and Notes, Paula Bovin. She joins us every week. She is just switching phones, so she'll be here momentarily. We'll get caught up with Paula on a whole bunch of things. The Diamondbacks are off today. They're in Colorado tomorrow. This week will be the NBA draft for the Suns. There are reports now that the Lakers not only are after Dwayne Wade, but Minnesota has put Anthony Bennett, who was their former number one pick, out there and available for the draft this week. So I think that this is going to be a really busy week when it comes to NBA stuff, with not just the draft. The draft's always the easy part of it. But I think the D'Angelo Russell conversation about him going to the Lakers. Suns fans, I'm just telling you that this is going to be a week where you're going to have to hold your breath. Because unless there's some major things that are coming down, and I'd be all for that with the way that the roster is currently constructed, and I think even they would be as well after what happened this last season. You can't say that coming into this draft that if you stand pat and just take somebody with a 13th pick that you're going to have all your ills solved unless they've got a real deep plan in free agency that is not out there at all. So it's been a build up to a draft that has three players at the top, and then the rest of the draft is pretty much wide open. Cauley Stein will be at the top. D'Angelo Russell would be second, and Jahlil Okafor would be third. The Knicks at number four, the one team that's been talking about making a trade out of the fourth spot. Would the Suns look at moving up? Would they be able to move up? And do they have enough assets to move up? Or are they just going to stand pat and once again take a player that is in the middle part of the first round? There's not much more to it than that. And that's what we'll have to wait and see on that front. So I myself would like to see the Suns shake this roster up in a big way. I know it's not that easy to do, but it certainly sounds as though there's going to be shakeups within the Western Conference, with Aldridge probably leaving Portland as a free agent, Minnesota looking at moving Bennett. If they bring Cauley Stein in there with the way that current roster is put together, they've easily passed a lot of teams in the Western Conference. The only thing that is lacking for them would be some experience out of all these young players. They put them all together. So, again, the draft is on Thursday. Paula Bovin joins us now, news and notes. So I just had Gary McCord on, and he was terrific about the Open. And actually, she just dropped off, so we'll get her back in a second. So I'll talk to Paula about that. Back on the Diamondbacks, and we'll get into this with her too. So Bronson Arroyo's deal to Atlanta and the snap judgments that are being made about this deal, this is not one that you can make right off the top. If you're one of those that wants to say, man, did they screw up? I can't believe they traded last year's first-round pick already a year into this new regime, along with Bronson Arroyo. When you figure that Corbin is coming back, he's down on the farm, he has a couple of more starts to go. Chase Anderson has been good. Hellickson has been better, although he's hurt right now. Archie Bradley's on the disabled list. This is a deal that you cannot say right off the top, boy, bad deal by the Diamondbacks. But I really believe it's one that will be fun to watch the next couple of years. When you trade a number one first-round pick, a 16th pick overall last year, a year later, you're going to be open to questions. That's just the way it is in this business. And I'm not saying it's a bad trade or a good trade. It's just we have to get Bronson Arroyo's payroll off of the books. I get that. So this is not just a simple throwaway deal. There's a lot more to it than that. Here is Paula now for a couple of minutes. Do you want to start with whiny golfers? Where are you at here? I just had Gary McCord on, and he was really, really good on this subject. Where do you want to go with? A lot from the weekend.
I was just annoyed by the tweets and comments, and you know, I mean, every course is going to be different. Some are going to be more challenging. Some aren't going to look like the others, but, you know, to use a horrible cliche, the cream kind of rose to the top.
Is that
the right
expression?
It's a horrible
cliche.
Yeah, it's an awful one. Yeah. It's an awful one.
Sure.
But the best golfers were there. So that just tells me that they understood it. They figured it out. It, you know, it wasn't necessarily what they're used to, but I just found it obnoxious. I don't know. It really rubbed me the wrong way.
But it's the same guys.
What did McCord say about it?
McCord was, he was pretty straightforward about, you know what you're going to get from Ian Poulter. Ian Poulter's always going to find something wrong or amiss. He was surprised that Horschel just went after them so hard because Horschel actually played pretty well.
Right.
You know, the course itself and all that on television, it looked like they're playing on a goat track. But look, it's the U.S. Open. It is for the common man. The common man is one that does three putt from 13, or woman, three putts from 13 feet away. It happens. So to that end, I think it's relatable to a lot of people what Dustin Johnson went through. What's not relatable is that he got $1.1 million to do it, and he had to walk home with Paulina Gretzky. I mean come on. And did you see, by the way, that Paulina Gretzky was trending more than Jordan Spieth last night and today? So what does that say about our country, huh?
Well, yeah, you know, and then the louse, I don't know if a button popped. I never quite understood that whole scene or if that's just the look she was going for. But that made everybody crazy and, you know...
Well, we have the picture up right now. I'm trying to look. Did a button pop? Do I see any cleavage? She's holding a baby. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah. And you know what? And that story is fascinating to me because someone told me Gretzky is really the guy that has helped turn him around. That, you know, there was a lot of partying going on and there was a lot of questions about why this guy is probably the most physically gifted guy on the tour. I mean, you see his forearms, Brad. They're unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Gretzky was really the one who's kind of stepped in and helped him turn things around. And, you know, his ability to sort of shake things off, I think, have made him a great golfer. But I was just stunned at how it ended. I saw some stats somebody tweeted about only 1% of golfers in that PGA players in that situation that has that kind of an outcome, you know, with from that distance and everything else. So, re-putting. So, I don't know. I thought it was a great tournament. I heard the numbers were miserable. I don't know if it was the Fox, the late starts, the announcers, I don't know. But I really enjoyed it.
See, and I'm seeing some numbers that aren't that bad. But, you know,
oh, good. Okay.
You can turn numbers any way you want. I would have liked to have had Joe Buck say when Johnson missed the last putt, I don't believe what I just saw. Because it would have followed his dad, who said, when Kirk Gibson hit his infamous home run off Dennis Eckersley, I don't believe what I just saw. So
yeah, that would have been perfect.
That's all I wanted. I mean, it was sitting right there. I mean, Fox's broadcast, I don't know. So you have a pretty, perky, short-skirted girl doing interviews post-round rather than the person in the jacket. Is that a Fox-ish thing? Sure it is.
Of course.
You know, I mean, it's like, come on, guys, really? You have to go that far? That's just
right.
Me. Greg Norman, when all he says is, he was asked by Joe Buck, what is Jordan Spieth going through right now that he has dry lips? And that was it. Okay. Yeah. I got it. Get him some chapstick. Give me a little bit more than that. But as I asked Gary about this too, about the first year of Fox and what they had, and he went back to his first year 30 years ago and what it was like for his first time ever. You can't just throw guys into the biggest stage. Hey, Brad, you're going to do the play-by-play of a Super Bowl as your first ever broadcast. Great. Knock me out. I'll have a lot of fun with that. Same
right.
Deal with those guys. I'm no Joe Buck, but I can sit there and look at them and say, this is kind of unfair. Put them in the John Deere Classic. Put them in, you know, one of these, the Heritage down in Charlotte where nobody's watching and just give them the reps. That's all that was.
It's a great point. You know why? Because doing golf is like no other sport. I mean, you just can't be dropped into it. There's those moments where suddenly you're going to have to fill time. You don't know sort of the rhythm and cadence of the tournament, how it's going to go, and suddenly you have to talk about this or that. And, you know, people you didn't expect to succeed are going to succeed. And I didn't think it was awful. I mean, I didn't think it was great. There were some, like you said, some of the analysis I just thought was really dry, and there were some sort of awkward moments. I thought they did more of hearing the golfer and caddy talk, hearing the conversations.
Sure.
I love that part because I like to hear what they say. And I didn't mind the interviews in front of the screen, but you're right. I mean, I don't necessarily... Was it professional looking? Not all the time.
No, it was eye candy. It's fine.
It was eye candy. She's
what?
Beautiful, but there are times she was doing that, you know, and I think I talked about this yesterday, did the statement versus the question with during her interview.
That must have been a rough. That must have been a rough round for you, microphone in face. What are you going to say? You know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there's a reporter, TV reporter, who used to do that to Steve Nash all the time in the locker room after Suns games. And finally, Nash, he's like the most patient guy. Goes. So, is there a question in there?
Right.
I think even the subjects get frustrated sometimes.
Got a couple minutes left with Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. What do you want the Suns to do Thursday night in the draft?
Draft Frank Kaminsky. I don't know if he's going to be available, but I just think he would add an element to this team, just from some of his defensive options. And one-on-one, he's not the best defensive option you can find at that size. But he's a big guy who creates shots. He can do so much offensively from outside, inside, and a guy that I saw a lot during the tournament and what he does for his team. People around him get so much better when he's there. He'd be a great kind of locker room guy. I don't know. My guess is he's probably not going to be available. There seems to be a real division among an analyst on him. And if they don't get him, just give me a nice pure shooter. Just give me someone who can score.
I want some change in the roster. I mean, not some change. I want major change in the roster. That's just me. I've heard today and actually over the weekend, there's an outside chance that Stanley Johnson could be the kid that drops. So
wow.
If he is sitting there, now this is agent stuff, so who knows who's telling the truth or not. But
sure.
If he were there at 13, could you see him being the fit here?
Yeah, and people can't expect, miracles with him right away. But, I mean, and it's what teams are always talking about. Do you go for upside? Do you go for immediate help? I mean, I don't think he's very far away, but he's young. He's a guy who spent 1 year in college, and I thought improved quite a bit from the first game to the last. But, I mean, his athletic gifts are just crazy. He's built for the NBA more than a lot of guys that are in that first round, projection. So I absolutely could. And he's a solid guy. I mean, he's not a guy. I don't think he's a great, not that he's a bad leader. I don't know if he's a natural leader per se, but he's certainly someone that would be a nice compliment to this team.
Anything else you're working on this week?
I'm just back from vacation, Brett. So I'm just trying to get my feet wet a little bit, but definitely looking at the draft and where some of these guys are going to go.
I was in Pine Top with Coach Graham and Ray Anderson and Charlie and Coach Powers, the hockey coach. Really like what he's about. Spent mm-hmm. 3 days up there. And Todd's got a little swagger about him, a little more than usual, I'd say.
More than usual. Wow.
More than usual. A little bit more than usual that the Arizona State faithful are, there's about 600 people up there. I'm going to talk more about that here in the coming shows and write something about it too. So we'll see.
Is it just in sort of his confidence for the season or what did you pick up on from
him? Oh, it's just something you're going to have to read about. Come on.
All right. Okay.
You do that to me, I'll do it to you.
I know. All right. I'll check it out. It sounded like a good event, though. I saw a lot of different people posting stuff on Facebook.
Yeah, it was. You know what? When they bring six kids up who have no shot at going to college without this event, and this event really does go to the cause, you know how it is. We get invited to go MC things or be at things, mm-hmm. and you're like, this is just a money grab. And then you go to something like this where you're actually seeing kids break down and cry because they're going to go to college, and it's taken care of, and it's done the right way. So I'll do this event every year. It's fine.
And they that support up there is really impressive. I know you've been connected with them for a while, but there is great ASU support up there.
You got that right. I'll see you soon. Stay well.
Okay, Brad.
It's mm-hmm. Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist, most importantly, my friend. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We join you Monday through Friday for a couple of hours, do our thing. And then we go over on our website where we have plenty of content. You can check it out. If you miss any part of the show, we have put our podcast up, and we do high school, college, pro, no particular order. Some days a lot of pro, some days a little high school, some days college, but a little bit of everything that we see around the state of Arizona. I'm Brad Sussmatt.